and he put out his hand and took it. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him off, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel. Telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the city, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And so the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Let's just pray very briefly. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you so much today for your word. We thank you so much for the instruction that we find in it. And we would just pray for these few minutes now where we would simply read these verses together and try to see what they mean and try to take some application from them. Try and in some way make them relevant to our lives. We just pray as we try to do that, that you'd help us. And we pray by your Spirit you'll open up the word to us. Help us to understand, help us to obey. Help me just simply to explain the words that lie before us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a little over 12 hours, 2017 will have come to an end, and 2018 will have started. I'm sure you've noticed that over the past few days, the media, as they always do, have been looking back on the year that's almost gone. They have been bringing to our attention things such as sporting highlights of the year, maybe significant news events, significant political developments of the year, and I suppose as we look across the world in 2017, there was many, many of those. They have also been looking forward and speculating about what 2018 will hold. Where will we be financially? One of the articles in the paper yesterday suggested that the FTSE had ended the year on a great high, and that the economists were readjusting their forecast for 2018. What will Brexit mean? How stable will Europe be in the year that lies ahead? What will happen with North Korea? A lot of looking back, a lot of looking forward. But I wonder, what about you as an individual in the service this morning? Have you been doing the same thing on a personal level? Have you been looking back in 2017? For some of you, there will have been some very happy times. For others, there will have been some very sad times. Maybe you've been thinking about the things that you planned to do, but you never got around to. Maybe you've been thinking about circumstances that happened unexpectedly. You know, this time last year, you could never have envisaged something maybe good that has happened to you, something maybe sad that has happened. And here, a year later, well, you would never have thought it. It's very much a reality. I wonder, what about 2018? Have you started to think about it? Have you made any plans? Are you thinking about changing the car? Thinking about changing your job? What about New Year resolutions? Have you thought of any? Are you going to make a list before 12 o'clock tonight? Well, I want us to think for a little while this morning about New Year resolutions. But before I do, let me just take a moment to think about that exact second tonight when 2017 will become 2018. And that's actually a very, very precise moment in time. You know, we could sit here now and we could actually calculate the exact number of seconds until that happens, but it's so precise that by the time we would have calculated it, it actually wouldn't be accurate because it would have moved on. It's a very, very precise moment in time. And listen, it's a moment in time that none of us can postpone or that none of us can prevent. Like it or not, that exact second will happen at 11:59:59 tonight. I don't know about you, but I had many things that I planned to do. In 2017, I achieved some of them. I failed at others. Some of them I never got around to. Even in last week, I was thinking to myself, you know, there's things that I would really like to do before the end of the year. But you know what the reality is? The reality is that the minutes are ticking by. And it doesn't matter how strong my intention, it doesn't matter how strong my desire. The reality is, whenever it comes that precise moment tonight, it'll be too late. I'll never be able to do those things in 2017 because I'll have crossed the line. You know, as I thought about that, I was reminded of a little verse in Job chapter 14 and the verse 5. Job is speaking to God and he's speaking about mankind and about the individual human life. Listen carefully to what he says. Job says, his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed bounds that he cannot pass. Do you know what that means? That means that just as there is an exact predetermined minute when 2017 will become 2018, so for every person in this building today, there's an exact second in time when God has predetermined that you will leave this life and you will enter into eternity. And so today, before I go any further, I want to ask you, are you prepared? You see, my Bible tells me that when you go into eternity, there's one of two places. There's hell, the place that we all deserve to go to be punished for our sins, or there's heaven, the place that God has prepared for us. But there's only one way of getting to heaven. Because Jesus Christ, God's Son, has died on the cross for our sins. And it's only when we repent of our sins and accept him as Savior that we're able to go to heaven. That's how we make our preparation. Let me ask you again. Have you made your preparation? I was talking a few moments ago about reviews. I noticed one that popped up on Facebook yesterday. It was significant people who had died or celebrities who had died in 2017. One of those was a guy who died just a few days ago, Sir Peter Terry. For quite a number of years, he was the governor of Gibraltar. He was governor during the time that the SAS killed three IRA volunteers. And because of that, the IRA took their revenge on him. One night a few years later, when he was sitting at the window of his house. They fired shots through his window. 9 shots hit him. 2 of them hit him in the face, stopped only millimeters from his brain. And yet it was 38 years later when he actually died. Why did he not die that night when they tried to assassinate him? Because he hadn't reached the predetermined time when his life would come to an end. And yet, at the other end of the spectrum, one of the other celebrities that died this year, I can't even remember his name, he wasn't a celebrity to me, but he died at the age of 21. An accidental overdose. Doing something that he had done so many times before, experimenting with drugs, and it went too far. One man at 91, escaping death by millimeters decades before, died. Another guy at 21 died. You see, the reality is each one of us are here in this building and none of us know the exact second when God has predetermined that we are going to leave this scene of time. And yet there's some of you here and you're not prepared. You're not saved. You might not even see 2018. The seconds on your clock, the clock of your life, are counting down. My friend, if you cross that line without being prepared, it's going to be forever too late. The things that I haven't done by the end of 2017, hopefully I'll get a chance to do them in 2018. But listen, you cross God's line without being prepared, it's too late for all of eternity. Can I urge you this morning to think about making preparation? Can I urge you to turn from your sin and accept Christ as your Savior before the clock of your life counts down to its final seconds? But listen, coming back to the New Year resolutions, I know that sometimes they're treated as a bit of a joke because very often they only last for a short while. However, statistics show that people are 10 times more likely to achieve their objective if they actually make it a New Year resolution. So surely on that basis alone, it's worth thinking about. Resolutions, some people will think about their health, some will think about their finance, some will think about their career, others will think about their friends and family. But let me throw out a challenge to you this morning. What about New Year resolutions concerning our spiritual life? It's been a busy week, hasn't it? You know, the run-up to Christmas and all that's associated with it, and we're doing things that aren't normally in our routine. But I wonder, have we taken time to look back over 2017 and examine where we are spiritually, examine our spiritual highs, examine our spiritual lows. In all the busyness of the last few weeks, have we taken time to stop and to seriously think about where we are with God at the end of this year? Are there things that you and I could do in 2018 to improve our spiritual health? You know, maybe we've been thinking about our work-life balance. And maybe like me, you're looking back at 17 and saying, I spent far too much time at work. I need to adjust that. But what about when it comes to God's work? Is the balance the other way? Is it the case, or could it be the possibility that we actually need to redress the balance there because we've spent far too little time in God's work? You know, maybe we've decided to make our friends and our family a bigger priority in 2018. But listen, what about the friend that sticketh closer than any brother? You know, he's the one that's always there for us. He's the one that never breaks his promises. He's the one that never lets us down. And yet there's a possibility that in your life, a possibility in my life, that more than any other friend, he's the one that we have squeezed to the corner. He's the one that, when we're rushing out in the morning, I'll cut God's time. And so there's the possibility that as we come here this morning, At the end of 2017, despite all God has done for us in it, there's a possibility that we know less of him and less about him than we actually did at the start of 2017. Has our relationship with God in the year that's gone by, has it grown stronger? Or is there a bigger distance there than what there once was? Is it the case that maybe you and I, we need to start and make some spiritual New Year resolutions? One of the greatest reasons why New Year resolutions aren't followed through is because that people set themselves unrealistic goals and they're not able to achieve them. But listen, let me suggest to you that when it comes to spiritual matters, we can't achieve anything anyhow. So for that reason, what I've done is this. The resolutions, I've made them into the form of a prayer, something we can actually pray and we can ask God. Another reason why people don't follow through a New Year resolution is because when they become busy, they actually forget about them. And again, in an attempt to try and offset that, what I have done is this, and I don't want you to panic. I've tried to put them in a list format. And what I'm going to try and do, and I say some of them will only be able to list, but what I want to try and do this morning, just in the few minutes that's left, is to give you a resolution, a spiritual resolution for each day of the week. And what I'm suggesting to you is that you take it away as that. And on the same day of every week, you actually pray that as a prayer and ask God to help you with that in your life. So let's very quickly move down into the chapter. As I say, some of them we may spend a wee bit of time on, others we'll only list for you. But the first one is very simply this. Lord, help me to have a desire to keep pressing forward. Lord, help me to have a desire to keep pressing forward. You see, there's a little phrase in Amos, and I'm sure many of you know it. Amos spoke about those people who were at ease in Zion. To put it into context, Amos was speaking to God's people. He was speaking to those who were diligent in their attendance at God's house. He was speaking to those who even spoke regularly about the Lord's coming. And yet the thrust of his message was this, that even to those people, complacency had set in. In other words, they were basically saved. And that was the most important thing as far as they were concerned. But anything else was an optional extra. And they didn't really need to concern themselves with too much more. Let me suggest to you this morning that it's very easy for any of us as a Christian to be at ease in Zion. And it's very easy for any congregation to get to the point where it is at ease in Zion. But listen, whenever you turn to this book, you will discover that men whose heart was with God where it should be, men who were in fire for God, they weren't content to sit still. They had a desire to press forward. Listen, one of the most prime examples is Caleb. And Caleb was one of the children of Israel entering into the promised land. And there he was, and the Israelites had achieved so much. And yet Caleb, at the age of 85, he said to Joshua, "Give me this mountain." He says, "I want to go out. I'm not content to sit still. There's something more I want to do for God. I want to go out and I want to conquer this extra bit of land." Think of the Apostle Paul. Think of everything that Paul achieved. And what did Paul say? He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark." There was something more that Paul wanted to achieve for God. Brethren and sisters, let's examine our own hearts this morning. And let's examine where we are on our Christian experience. You need to examine your heart. I need to examine my heart. Listen, let's be truthful. Are we at ease in Zion, or are we pressing forward? Are we pressing forward, or have we sat down on the road? Maybe it was never your intention to be at ease in Zion. But maybe circumstances happened. Maybe a disappointment. Maybe a heartache. Something happened. Somebody said something. Something annoyed you. And here you are this morning, and disappointment has become your dwelling place. Your heartache has become your home. Your setback has become your excuse. Your detour has become your destiny. And what you thought was a temporary break has become a permanent rest. Maybe you're here this morning and you're making so little progress in your Christian experience. And maybe this morning God would be saying to you what he said to Moses. Ye have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Turn ye and take your journey. Behold, I have set the Lamb before you. But listen, when you look here at chapter 6, it wasn't an individual that was trying to move forward. It was actually a group of individuals that were trying to move forward. Here were a group of God's children, a group who met together with a common purpose. In other words, you could compare it to a local congregation. And they come along to Elisha, and they tell him what's on their heart. And what they're saying to him is this. They say, Elisha, listen, the place where we meet, it's far too small. And what we want to do is this. We want to go down to the banks of the Jordan, and we want to build a new place. You see, these guys here, they realize that what they had, while it had worked well for the past years, they realized that they couldn't afford to be complacent. They wanted to gain new ground. They wanted to do something new for God. And they realized that it was going to involve change. It was going to involve something new. But it was part of gaining ground. It was part of pressing forward for God. Listen, let me ask ourselves a question here in Lurgan Baptist. At the end of 2017, and as we look forward to 2018, listen, where are we? Are we complacent? Are we content to sit still? Or do we want to press forward? Walton made an interesting point last Sunday morning. He can correct me if I quote him wrong. But it went along the lines of something like this. When are we as Christians going to realize that if we're going to win people, we need to be involved in their lives? Another deacon made a comment to me last Sunday evening. He said, it's great to see such a great crowd in on the Christmas Eve service. But are we really seeing the lost in? Are we really preaching to the unconverted? Brothers and sisters, the reality is, it's easy to become complacent. It's our business meeting in a few days' time. And we look and we see the figures. A few more have joined than what left. So that's okay. And the financial status is working out and we're meeting the bills. And provided there's an acceptable number of people coming to the meetings and we're ticking the boxes and we're riding along comfortably, it's easy to get to that level of complacency. But brethren and sisters, the challenge for us is this. Are we content to sit there? Is that all that we're here for? Or do we have a desire to press forward? The unsaved people in this town, hundreds of them, thousands of them round about us, people who are going to hell. And brethren and sisters, let's be honest. Are we pressing forward? As a congregation, are we really trying to do what we can to reach them? And maybe it's the case. Maybe it's like these young men that came to Elisha. Maybe it'll involve thinking outside the box. Maybe we'll have to do something a little new. Listen, the message isn't going to change. Of course it isn't going to change. The fundamentals aren't going to change. They can't change. But perhaps our approach needs to change. Do we have a desire to press forward? When I come to prepare a message, I don't prepare it word for word, and that, or very far from it, and that can mean one of two things. That means I can run out of things to say. It means I can have far too much to say. And time is slipping by. We really only covered one of the resolutions. Let me quickly list some others. Number two, Lord, help me to surround myself with people that will help me on the journey. I'm looking here at verse 3 of the chapter 6. They said to Elisha, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. You see, these guys, they knew the sort of man that Elisha was. They had benefited on many occasions in the past from his wisdom, from his advice. I'm not sure what age Elisha was. I'm not sure how physically fit he was, whether he's going to be able to much help to them in the building process. But they knew that Elisha would encourage them. They knew that Elisha would help them. You know, when I thought about this, I thought about Saul. When Saul became king, he came in as a novice. He was a young man, and he had no experience, and he was going to meet people around him. And who was he going to surround himself with? Business people? People with experience in diplomatic relations? People with experience in the military? You know what it says? It says there went with him a band of men whose hearts God touched. Saul brought with him people that he knew would be a help to him on the journey. Brethren and sisters, let's pray to God in 2018. Do you know one of the biggest factors on where we finish spiritually in 2018 will be who our friends are? Boys and girls, when you go to school, form friends with people who are good. Young people, as you go through life, form friendships with people who will encourage you in the way, and especially those of you who are at that stage where you're looking to become involved romantically, you're looking to form a relationship with a partner for life, how important it is. But listen, for all of us, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Lord, help me to surround myself with people who will help me on the journey. Number three, Lord, help me not to let the axe head slip. I mean, you know the story. I'm not going to take time to go into the detail of it. But it was so important that this man kept the axe head on for him to do the work. And yet he let it slip, perhaps through carelessness, perhaps through busyness. And listen, everything we do, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's make sure we have the Holy Spirit with us in all that we do. Number four, Lord, help me to remember that you know everything and that you are in complete control. I mean, it's a wonderful story here. Nobody likes to be betrayed, but this king, he thought he was being betrayed. He thought someone that was close to him was sneaking secrets to the enemy, because every time he tried to launch a battle against Israel, that plan was thwarted and his mission failed. And they told him, no, it's very simple. The reason is Elisha. Elisha is the source. God is telling Elisha. Why? Because even the wickedness that was going on in the heart of the wicked king, God knew all about it. Let me fast forward through the story. The servant gets up, Elisha's servant gets up one morning. And I'm sure you know what it's like. All of us, when we get up, we're not too alert sometimes. And he goes out and he wipes the eyes and he looks around him. And the city surrounded, soldiers all around him. And there he is, and he doesn't know what to do. He thinks this is the day that he's going to die. He thinks his life has come to an end. He thinks it's all over. But listen, what he was very soon going to learn was that God knew all about it. And God was in control. Listen, 2018, we don't know what will happen to us. We don't know what circumstances may come along our pathway. Maybe we will find ourselves in situations where, like this young man, it seems there's no way out. It seems our back's against the wall. It seems no matter what way we turn, the enemy's there. It seems that we're surrounded. Take the lesson from the story. And let us pray in 2018 that God will help us to remember that he knows everything and that he is in complete control. Another one, number five, Lord, help me to remember. And we've touched this already this morning with the boys and girls. Help me to remember that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. You know, there's two attitudes here in this story. There's a young servant and he's panicking. And he's fearful and he's worried. He doesn't know what end of him's up. He doesn't know what his end is going to be. And then there's Elisha. And he comes out and he says, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. You see, prayer replaced panic. And listen, so often in our lives, when circumstances happen that we weren't expecting, we want to panic. And listen, the reality is, for all of us, there will be circumstances in 2018. Things that will happen. Maybe we'll lose our job. Maybe we'll have a health scare. Maybe we'll have a family problem. There'll be things that will make us want to panic. But we need to pray instead. We need to learn that God hears and answers prayers, and that when we pray, spiritual things become a reality. Because here was this servant, and when Elisha prayed, he seen the army all around. There's a song, I've listened to it a couple of times over the past days, thinking about this sermon, and it says, "Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side." Let me close by mentioning the last two. Number six, Lord, help me to be compassionate towards others. Either the guy that lost the axe head, or the guy that panicked when he seen the army. Elisha could have read him up. He could have been so short-tempered with him, he could have said this, that, and the other to him. But listen, he was compassionate towards him. And number seven, and this is what flows through the whole passage. Lord, help me through my words and actions to be known as one that belongs to you. Didn't matter whether it was the king of Syria, the king of Israel, whether it was the guy that lost the axe head, whether it was the prophets that were looking to build the new place, or whether it was the servant that panicked when the army surrounded them. Every one of these people, when they looked at Elisha, they knew he was a child of God. Through his words, through his actions, it was very clear whose he was and who he belonged to. That's a struggle sometimes for us, isn't it? It's maybe easy when we come to church on a Sunday to be known as a child of God. In our homes, in our neighbourhoods, in our places of work. Maybe that's a wee bit more difficult. And so maybe we would do well to take a day a week to pray, Lord, help me through my words and through my actions to be known as one that belongs to you. We're going to stand to sing a song in closing. It's a song that we've sang a couple of times recently. I suppose it's quite new to us, but I think it's very in keeping. The song is this, it's simply Behold Our God. And I think that's where we want to finish today. We want to finish by reminding ourselves of who God is. And when we remind ourselves of who God is, then we will want to change our lives for 2018. We will want to pray to him about all of these things. And most of all, we will remember and we will realize that when we pray to him, he hears our prayers and he has the power to answer our prayers. Listen, I realize that I may have went slightly over the time, but I encourage you, we're going to sing the whole of the song. There'll be an opportunity for you at the end of it, you know, stand for the table to go. But let's stand and sing the song. And sometimes ministry is lost because, like the seed that was sown on the wayside, it snatched away so quickly. Let's stand and sing the song together, thinking about what we have heard and thinking about who God is.
are our God, and we do simply bow before you, and we adore you for who you are. And we just pray that in 2018, no matter what it brings along our pathway, whether it be happy, whether it be sad, whether it be expected or unexpected, Father, we pray that you'll help us to live our lives that are lives that are pleasing to you and that bring honour and glory unto you. Part us now, those who must go, and bless those who will wait around the table, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.